You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage and 50,000 others there.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Ravens Weekly and welcome to episode 103. We're as surprised as you.
FA Trophy Special.
It is an FA Trophy Special. Jeff's already decided the title of this one. Jeff, you're back.
I'm back.
You're back in town. Brilliant to have you back, Jeff. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to get started then before we talk about the FA Trophy and before we go on to all of that, we're going to start with Wealdstone. You weren't at that one, Jeff, were you? But a first half performance from Bromley, which was dominant, could have been 3, maybe 4-0 up. Unfortunately, it was a 1-1 draw in the end. Bromley taking the lead, but Wealdstone with a last-minute equaliser against a 10-man Bromley side, which was not due to a sending off, but due to an injury. I was on comms with Dan Bentley on the day, and here's how it all went down.
Box launched into the box by Bush towards Webster. Webster gets a flick header and heads it home. And Byron Webster nets his second goal in as many games against Wealdstone this season. And there is the opener. Byron Webster with the header from the Chris Bush throw. Bromley are ahead.
Yeah, really dangerous throw from Chris Bush. We say that he has this this weapon with the throw. If you can't do it from corners, you can do it from throws. And we haven't seen too many goals come from the throw-ins. I was actually thinking that in the first half. And the ball just seemed to stay in the air for ages. And it was Webster, the man, like you say, in the reverse fixture, got the winner, gets the flick on at the back post towards that, bounced up into the top corner, and the away side had the lead.
Three in some space, gets a low cross into the box, cross the face of goal, and bundled into the net. And Wealdstone have a late equaliser here. I think it might have been Akimo who got the last touch, but it matters not, as 10-man Bromley are pegged back here just as the clock strikes 90.
Right, brilliant. Can we talk about the FA Trophy now?
Not yet, no.
It snowed today.
It did.
The last time it snowed, 2018. FA Trophy semi-final first
We did have a little watch, didn't we, earlier on in the office?
Yeah, it was Louis Dennis. 3-2, wasn't it?
It was 3-2. Louis Dennis with a special performance that day. And when there was a tunnel cam, wasn't there, of the players walking out the tunnel, one of the Gateshead players was called Wes York. And he had York on the back of his shirt. There's just too many
balls to get, really.
We're clutching at straws here, everyone. There's a lot of things we've got to get through first. So Jeff's really excited about
Excitement
this.
Excitement is building.
Jeff's really excited, as you can tell. The weather is very, very strange. It's now sunny outside. We can see the sun pouring in. The under-23s, who had a fantastic 3-1 victory against Oxford City last week. Big congratulations to them. As we always say, a lot of talent on show in the under-23s this year.
Yeah. Really look forward to them. Amazing.
Absolutely. Really look forward to some of them getting into the first team and pushing for places there. Next game is tonight, Friday night. Is that right?
No, next Friday.
No, next Friday. Oh, okay. We're recording this on a Friday. That's really confusing. It says Friday night, so apologies. It is next Friday.
Wow, digging you out there, Josh.
I wasn't going to name him. But yeah, that's against Abbey Rangers, and that's a 7:30 kickoff next Friday, not
next
this Friday.
Friday.
That's the 8th of April, if my maths is correct.
Entry via Broomfield.
Oh, isn't it incredible?
Is it Oxford next Friday? Is it the Friday after? Oh, it is next Friday.
I thought it was tonight.
No, it's next Friday.
And that's against Abbey Rangers, as mentioned. 7:30 kickoff. You can get your tickets on sale on the website.
Grab your tickets. This episode's off to the floor.
And then come and enjoy some brilliant football. They are a fantastic side. And Jeff, then it was on to Bromley Ladies, who had a brilliant result on Sunday.
Oh, so close. Touching distance now for them, obviously. 2-0 against Clapton. Was it top of the table? They were third. But they could have caught them up, couldn't they? Because they had the game in hand, etc. So, they've literally got their game now. Is it this Sunday, I believe? And a win, and that's it. They're champions.
And that's against Enfield Town Ladies. So best of luck to Bromley. really keeping everything crossed, they can go on and win that title. What a fantastic
achievement.
That'd be
absolutely brilliant. That'd be up to tier six of the women's period. It would be absolutely fantastic for them.
Amazing.
And long overdue as well. They've obviously got interrupted with COVID and all of that sort of stuff, so I know they've waited a long time for this. I think they've got two games left, but like you say, Matt, they can do it on Sunday. So yeah, best wishes to everyone.
Good luck to them. There's some really fantastic people involved with the setup there, so very
shame it's away.
Wouldn't it be great? Moving on then, carrying on the theme of celebrating our other teams, aside from the first team, it was a brilliant week for the under-13s and under-15s, who both won their Kent County Cups, the under-13s beating Phoenix Sports 1-0, and the under-15s beating Cray Wanderers 5-0.
Whee!
In that local derby, if you can call it that.
Love that. No, it was brilliant. They were both, was it Sheppey? They both played at Sheppey United.
Yes.
One in the morning, one in the afternoon, and I saw on Twitter, one of the teams got hired the VIP coach from here, departed Hayes Lane. It was brilliant, absolutely superb to see. There were some videos from the Kent FA. And obviously, Matt, we've got the pleasure of welcoming them on Saturday. I think they're going to parade the trophies on the pitch, which will be brilliant in front of a sell-out crowd.
Absolutely, and deservedly so. So if you are at the game on Saturday, which lots of you are, do give them a warm reception as they walk round the pitch at half-time. They're doing the club and doing the youth section very, very proud indeed. Now, Jeff, over the years, we've had quite a few players reach the England C team, and this week was a long overdue call-up for Michael Cheek.
Yeah, obviously a fantastic, fantastically convenient game plotted in by the FA there for absolutely no reason whatsoever. But still, you can't take it away from professional, you know, Michael Cheek there representing England C. You know, to be wearing those the Free Lions and you know, obviously a fantastic moment for him and his family. When you see him there in his England kit and in England training kit and stuff like that, it's absolutely brilliant to see. But shocking game, wasn't it? Was it 4-0, 5-0?
Yeah, not the best.
We had the sponsors event, didn't we, downstairs in Broomfield, which was absolutely amazing. And we actually had it on the big screens watching it. And hand on heart, I couldn't care what the score was. It was just trying to make sure that Cheeky didn't get injured in any shape or form. And I've got to be honest, I've never been so happy when he came off, if I'm honest, because, we need everybody we can, don't we, for Saturday?
Absolutely, and what more important than the top scorer as well. Thank you so much for that, and congratulations again to Michael Cheek. It is, like I said, I think a long overdue England C call-up. He's scored goals in the National League for years. He's one of the top goal scorers ever in this division, so he fully, fully deserves that call-up. Like you say, timing not the best, but congratulations to him anyway. Now we're going to look ahead to Saturday, and the FA Trophy, of course, ties in with the opening of the new bar, Broomfield's, which is
Broomfield's Bar and
phenomenal.
Kitchen. It's what a week it's been. We've had a couple of soft openings, haven't we? And even now, as we speak, the youth section are downstairs enjoying the new bar and kitchen. It's their night tonight. Last night was obviously the season ticket holders, and Wednesday was the sponsors. It's been so good. It really has been brilliant, and again, I think the staff have been amazing. I think everybody that's been in the bar and kitchen have been brilliant. You know, they've been really supportive, understanding that for a lot of the staff, it's their first or second shift in a new facility. But it's just been brilliant. The energy around the place this week has been superb. It's been great to see the players involved in some shape or form. I know you're going to come on to it. James Allaby was taking over the Instagram story on Thursday. It's been brilliant. And like I say, you couldn't have really written a better weekend, I suppose, Matt.
Absolutely, and of course it ties in with that game tomorrow.
Might not have been as good if it was York City away. That might have been a bit of a challenge.
Maybe
they could have streamed it back, to be fair.
But it is York City at home, Jeff, and it is a sellout crowd, and it really couldn't have been timed any better. It is a massive,
how many
massive
is that
game.
What's the number? What's the exact number? That's what everyone wants to know, isn't it? It's a sellout. There's
a
lot of people.
Yes.
It's going to be just under, 4,500 people, I think? You know, given the segregation, given the gantry, given the police, all that sort of stuff, is all kind of things have been brought into the calculation. But it's going to just be an absolutely massive crowd. This place is going to be absolutely rocking. A tremendous effort from York City, 1,000 of their fans in attendance. And I've got to say, a massive shout out to Lewis, secretary, and Mike, general manager. Done a phenomenal job, really, to manage, making sure York City, you know, only get those 1,000 in terms of making sure that, you know, away fans haven't jumped in at the home end. Of course, there's going to be a few, but they really have gone all out these last few weeks to try and make sure that Bromley fans who want tickets and get tickets, and that people aren't taking advantage or abusing the system. So I think they deserve a big shout out, Matt.
Absolutely, and what a big week and what a big day for the team as well. Obviously, like you said earlier, Jeff, we're looking back at that semi-final in 2018. The difference being this year, it's only one leg, it's not two legs, so it all comes down to tomorrow.
I mean, that was a sensational. In 3-2, Louis Dennis absolutely unplayable. He was unplayable that season, really, but that day on a completely different level. And yet the game finished and it was still just half time, which isn't going to be the case at all on Saturday. So it really is one game. It feels like a cup final. It's winner takes all. Like we said at the time with the draw, it's all you could have asked for to give you the best possible opportunity. So it's going to be the energy levels have just grown and grown as the week's gone on. All the energy in Broomfield, everything going on around Hayes Lane, it's been phenomenal. And like I say, today when it snowed, I was having flashbacks immediately to clearing a pitch of snow before the game. I think we were one of the only games that actually took place that Saturday back in 2018. And we were clearing the pitch still at 12, 1 o'clock. Ian Jordan was on his tractor. And usually it's one of those games where when you put that amount of effort to get a game on, it usually ends up being an anticlimax and you end up losing the game. But it was a fantastic day. And like you say, 3-2, and then that was only half-time, and then to go to the second leg. So yeah, if it snowed today, that's
strange, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's timing. It's very strange. But we're really looking forward to tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you all down here, packing the terraces out. Don't forget to get behind the team. They really need your support. And of course, we'll be looking to replicate the performance that we put in the last round, which was a home victory here against Solihull Moors. What a performance it was on that day. A 3-1 victory.
We were on a different level, weren't we, that day?
We were. Best performance of the season, in my view.
Definitely.
I'm not sure if you agree.
100%.
So we'll be looking to replicate that. Moving back onto Broomfield slightly then, Jeff, you mentioned there was an Instagram takeover this week, and quite an entertaining one from James Alabi.
I'm not down with the kids anymore, I'm getting quite old, but I understand he did an Instagram takeover, which basically means we gave him the password to the club's accounts. Obviously, what could go wrong? But it was actually quite funny.
It was really hilarious, and Josh has actually managed to get some audio from this takeover, and here's what went down with James and the Instagram.
This is the bar. As you can see. Look at it, beautiful. Beautiful, just be ordering. And if I score on Saturday, I'm going to buy a drink for someone. It'll be the chairman's money as well, don't worry. Look at that. Just lovely, just beautiful. Oh, what's this? The kitchen. Kitchen. Beautiful again. Nice. Saturday, everyone has to be here. Have to be here. Broomfields. Broomfields. I've also got some questions. Some questions that you lot asked me earlier, so I'm going to read some of them out. Okay, someone asks, why are you always last out for the second half? And this is a question that even the players asked me. Basically, I have a routine where, excuse my French, I have to have a poo before the game, halftime, every single game. So when I'm having a poo, it normally takes a bit of time, so then I have to come out after. So that's the real reason. People think I'm doing it because I want to get a bit of a crowd, but that's the reason. What other questions can I use on here? What is your favourite cheat meal? My favourite cheat meal would be, I love a Chinese special fried rice, sweet and sour chicken. Yeah, that's a bit of me. What else is there? Do you believe we can get promoted? 100%. We've got enough players, good manager, good staff, and now we've got the Broomfield, so we just have to get promoted. Are you going to score on Saturday? Correct. I will be scoring. What other question is there? There's loads. Are you superstitious? No, I'm not. I'm not superstitious. But yeah, I think I'm going to leave the questions for now. There's a lot, and I'll get through the rest of them later. But yeah, look, guys, Saturday, make sure your hair. Everybody, make sure your hair.
Brilliant. Obviously, James having a great time there, going around Broomfield and showing everybody the place. And obviously, somebody else enjoying the whole experience is Ali. Ali, our new head chef. He's been fantastic. Obviously, he's been in the exec club now for a good few months, and he's been a big part of the project down there. And enjoying it's one word, absolutely working and grafting is another. And yeah, it's been brilliant to see. I must admit, sponsors night, I very much enjoyed the drink, but I didn't get around to eating. And then Thursday night, last night, with the season ticket holders, I managed to sit down with a few and had something to eat. What did I have? I had the chicken burger. Lovely.
It looked fantastic. It looked absolutely brilliant. The fish and chips as well. Gorgeous.
Yeah, biggest seller apparently online.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
Everyone was a salmon. Salmon. Oh, sorry, we're talking about the menu now. Sorry.
He is an enigma, isn't he, Ali? He's an absolute gentleman. And Charlotte Richardson, head of marketing, caught up with him earlier this week on what you can expect on the Broomfield menu.
Ali, head chef at Bromley Football Club. It's a very exciting time because on Saturday we launch Broomfield's, our bar and kitchen. How are you feeling about the opening?
I'm very excited. Class, big responsibility as a head chef for first time. And I want to success for my ambition, which is a Broomfield, and Broomfield success depends on my career, lots of things, because as a head chef, for my first position as a head chef, so I'm trying to give my best, and I design the menu, which is a quality different cuisine all together, so people can enjoy. It's not for only for children, only not for only football fan, it's for all category people who love food,
and lots of people do love food. So can you talk us through the menu and your sort of inspiration behind it?
First I go for with the starter. We got something come prawn everybody love, so this come as a starter prawn. Then they're gonna we have a vegan option, onion bhaji as a starter as well. It's Indian, so if we go through the steak chapata, that's also coming another handy. Then we introduce something as a arancini bowl, which is a Italian version. So this is also arancini bowl house slow. And if I go to the main course, we got also start with the salmon and teriyaki salmon. We got tofu. Then we got biryani also, butter chicken and alu gobi. Then we bring it to the also roastery side, roast chicken, and we have a sandwich. We can have a roast beef. So all together this comes with the pudding. We have a homemade brownie, and we got cheesecake, and a sundae for the ice cream for kids. So this is simple menu, just keep in mind, but it's very simple and very easy.
Honestly, do we have a running order for this podcast? Because we've basically just gone from Wildstone last week straight to Saturday FA Trophy. There are obviously 4 or 5 days in between, Matt. And
we like to keep everyone on their toes, I think, is what we're doing. We're keeping each other on our toes here.
there's so much we've missed, as always. On the community side, Matt, this week's probably, as ever, everything seems to have culminated into this week. It's been the busiest week with regards to activities off-site as well, with regards to the amount of schools and town centre activity. But starting with the schools, Matt, obviously we've taken on some new provisions for after April half-term, and alongside that we've obviously been in there providing tickets and promoting Saturday's game.
Absolutely. So it's a very big welcome to the Bromley Football Club community family, to Oak Lodge Primary School and Unicorn Primary School, based in West Wycombe and Beckenham respectively. We are delighted to be going in there after the half-term break, as you say, and we're going to be providing after-school clubs and some coaching for them there, and we're really, really excited to get it all going. So we had the pleasure this week of going into not only those two schools, but a big shout out to Harris Orpington and St James's as well, who we have relationships with and work
brilliant.
On.
Brilliant, like literally every
with.
Single day this week, other than today, we've been in a school doing an assembly, doing a visit. It's been absolutely brilliant. And one of the season ticket holders on Thursday pulled me and they said literally their son's come home with a flyer and he said he's so excited. Bromley Football Club have been in, they're going to be doing our football after the half term. But the poor kid couldn't remember the player's name.
It was super Scotty Wagstaff.
We were trying to work it back out.
Talk about remembering names. I'm going to put my neck on the line here. I'd like to thank all of the players. At Oak Lodge on Tuesday, we had Corey Whiteley and Chris Bush, and it was a real pleasure to host the two assemblies that we did there. Mark Cousins and Louis Dennis went down to Harris Orpington, accompanied by Sue Whittaker and community coach Adam Wayne, and handed out some certificates to our participants there. Moving on to later in the week, we went back to Oak Lodge. Huge thank you to Luke Coulson and Connor Parsons for heading on down there, and Scott Wagstaff coming down to Unicorn Primary School as well, and finally, last but not least, Ben Margetson going down to St James's for not quite an assembly, but actually to join in with a session. It was freezing.
You definitely put your neck out of line there trying to make sure you've thanked everybody.
I think I have thanked everyone. But a big thank you to Andy as well, who's been really supportive of this and has really encouraged the players to do
there
it,
you
and
go.
They have loved it.
Talking about Andy, Ravens chat. What about them? Andy came into Ravens chat as normal on Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
He hadn't been in for a couple of weeks, had he, because of interviews and stuff. But did you see the double page spread in and on the paper?
Yes.
Well, not everyone did see it because I couldn't get a copy on the Sunday. I went to three or four shops and then I rung them on the Monday and their printers broke. So I only got half of the usual distribution. But we were double page spread, and the funniest thing is the editor, in his opening paragraph, refers to the Ravens chat group.
I saw that.
It's something along the lines that basically, if Andy wants a reality check, he's only got to pop upstairs to the venue on a Thursday to get it.
I think that's true.
which it is. And this Thursday was no different, to be fair.
They are brilliant, that bunch, aren't they? The Ravens chat bunch. But speaking of that, big thank you to Signature at Beckenham for supporting this project. We had the pleasure of taking Ravens chat down to Signature last week for a Bromley boys screening.
Ravens chat on tour. What's going on?
It was a bit surreal sitting next to Derek Dobson and Roy Oliver at the back, and they're actually cast in the Bromley boys. So that was quite an experience, but brilliant support, a brilliant project, and thank you to Andy for being involved with it again. Speaking of Andy, as usual, we caught up with him this week on all things that have gone on, including those things that we've covered, and of course that big match against York City, and here's what he had to say. Andy, before we get onto the matter of the FA Trophy, just one game in the week gone by at Wealdstone, and a result you were frustrated with.
Yeah, I think we should have been out of sight at half time, really, the amount of chances we had. The keeper made a couple of saves. It was just one of those games where we create loads and loads of chances and just should have put the game to bed at half time. Second half, we had the misfortune of a couple of injuries, which forced us into make substitutions, and then one of those guys gets injured and was down to 10 men, and then it becomes a little bit of a struggle for the last 10 minutes, and they got a goal, really, which you could argue they deserved when we went down to 10 men, but the game should have been dead and buried. And that's probably been a little bit of a frustration of mine, really. There's been quite a few games that we really should have put teams to bed. But I do say that sooner or later we are going to, you know, we're going to convert these chances and really give a sort of score on a day that will be reflect what we're creating.
There wasn't a game on Tuesday, so plenty of hard work going on in training this week ahead of a big game on Saturday for the boys.
Yeah, it's been a good week for us training wise. We've managed to get some good work into the guys ready for this Saturday. You know, without getting too over the top about the game, you know, it's a game at our place, and we need to go about our business like we have been all, you know, most of the season. So we've had our preparation been very good for this. So yeah, really really looking forward to what looks like probably going to be a big crowd here Saturday. So exciting times.
And some other things that have been going on during this week, obviously yourself and a number of the playing staff are involved with the opening of Broomfields. It was brilliant to be able to welcome so many people down, wasn't it?
I mean, Broomfields is a fantastic venue now, isn't it? I mean, it's really something special down there. And it was quite nice to see the sponsors and the supporters, you know, their reaction to it, because we've been lucky enough to see it grow as it's been built. And to finally see it operating these last couple of nights has been brilliant, and the feedback's been fantastic. And you know, when all the fans come down on a match day, I think they're going to be blown away with the facility they've got to have a drink and have a bite to eat, not just on a match day, but Monday to Friday as well. You know, 7 days a week. So it's been a nice few days as well to mix with the fans.
And something else that's been going on this week is we've had a lot of school visits with the players, which have gone down really well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's gone down really well. It's something that I wanted to make sure that we was really, really big on as a group of players, particularly in staff, that we give something back to the community. We keep banging on that we're a community football club, which is very important, and that's why, led by myself to the players, that we make sure that we go out there and do our bit in the schools and in the community. Strangely enough, or should I say, not strangely enough, the players have really enjoyed it. That's really nice. They've come back to me and they actually really enjoy going out there to meet these kids and that. So it works both ways, and we'll continue to keep doing that going forward.
So tomorrow it's Bromley versus York City, FA Trophy semi-final, a near sellout now. It's going to be some atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, and I'm sure York are as well. You know, we can't get away from it. It's a big game for both clubs. York are a massive club. Come on, they've been in the league. We haven't. Their support's going to be very good. And they've got their new stadium. So looking from their side of the fence, it's a huge game for them. For us, you know, it's a big game for us as well. You know, we had the fortune a few years ago going to Wembley, so everyone's fresh in their mind what a great day out it is. So it's going to be a big game for both teams, and I hope the game flows well for us, and then we get the result like York will be. But we're certainly prepared for York, and looking forward to the atmosphere that's going to be here tomorrow.
Well, Andy, best of luck. We'll catch you after that one. Thank you.
Brilliant to hear from Andy, as always, there, Matt. And obviously, I know you stuck your neck out on the line to make sure we covered everything on the community side, but we didn't.
Failed.
You forgot Riverside School.
Oh, how can I forget Riverside School? My brother went there. It is an absolutely fantastic school. There's actually two of them now, one in Beckenham, one in St Paul's Cray. For special needs children, they are absolutely exceptional and wonderful bunch of people and brilliant kids as well. So we have had the pleasure of hosting them. Actually, over the past few years, COVID brought an end to it. Of course, for the past 2 years, but we're back now hosting their PE sessions here at Bromley Football Club on a Friday morning. One group from each school comes down to receive fantastic coaching from our wonderful team of community staff, and they're absolutely loving it. And who better to chat to than PE teacher Peter Collett, who filled us in on what's been going on.
Peter Collett from Riverside School, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. We're talking about the partnership between the club and Riverside School, and it's something that we've been able to reignite post-COVID now. The kids seem to be really enjoying themselves.
Absolutely. And for every kid, it's a different experience. So we've got kids that really love football. Some just love the journey of coming out, and a mixed match of all that kind of thing. Kids talking about when they get back to school. It's fantastic.
Can you just give a bit of background on the school? What is Riverside School for those that aren't aware?
So Riverside School is a school for children from the ages of early years all the way up to 19. We've actually got the secondary lot and a few primary school pupils that have been coming this time, all from a special needs background, ISD, and moderate learning difficulties. All the kids are really, really enjoying it.
It must have been really difficult during COVID for you and for the families and for the kids as well that you're supporting. And it's great to be able to now provide opportunities like this.
Absolutely. Very, very difficult 2 years. And for a school, it's like one of the first trips we've actually been able to get back engaged with. And the kids are just buzzing every time they come home. Back to school, they're talking about it. The fact they can actually get out, get fresh air, got a space. They're just loving every session. The coaches are fantastic. Create like different experiences for all our kids, and they're actually hitting their personal targets as well, so brilliant.
The coaches and teachers seem to be enjoying themselves out there as well today.
Absolutely, all the adults are loving it each week, and to be honest with you, you've got people saying I'll come, so they're enjoying it, the kids are enjoying it, and all together it's just a brilliant experience.
And it's mainly about fun and engaging with the kids and teaching them something, but there's actually some really good talent out there as well.
Oh, absolutely, and to be honest with you, I'm surprised. So it's sort of, sometimes you see some skills and sometimes you think it's quite a tricky skill, and the kids are actually developing the skills really well, and then they're actually transferring that into the game. We had that today, so yeah, really, really good.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for your time. We look forward to being back after half term. Thank you.
Excellent, thank you guys.
For fear of turning this into the charity podcast, we've managed to forget also Basson House School, who we had the absolute pleasure of welcoming on Monday, Matt.
We did, didn't we? And a very similar experience at Basson House, a school for SEN children, particularly autism. And they came down to watch first team training, have a look around the stadium.
Coincided with World Autism Acceptance Week.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. So a huge thank you to them for coming down. Huge thank you to Jack from Basson House School for helping us to arrange it. And a big thank you to the team as well, and Coach Adam Wayne, who put on a really good session.
Again, they enjoyed football on the stadium, didn't they?
Before
the first team, watched their training, you know, took part in that, which was absolutely brilliant. And then, you fast forward to tomorrow, and you've got Casper as well. We've got the Casper kids coming.
We've got our brilliant Pan Disability session, which includes our own group of SEN and Pan Disability participants. And then we've got the Casper group as well, which is younger children, and they are a fantastic bunch. And Casper are a wonderful organisation. We're really proud to work with. And they're going to be coming down tomorrow for their session and having a little look around the dressing room as well, weren't they?
I know we go on about it, and we all, you know, the players have just been fantastic, and in terms of obviously the leader of the pack, Byron Webster, and you know what he organises and makes possible for us, is, you know, just can't thank him enough, Matt.
Absolutely, he's been fantastic in helping us to facilitate all of these visits and really rallying the troops, and the players have really, really enjoyed being part of it. They've found it so rewarding, and the feedback and the way the players are talking about it around the place, it's got back to Andy. He's absolutely delighted. So yeah, really, really rewarding week all in all. Back on then to first team action, and back on to
talking about Byron Webster,
the former York City man who came through the academy there, has his say on tomorrow's tie in the FA Trophy.
Byron, it was a skipper's goal for you last week. A good finish, but unfortunately wasn't enough in the end.
No, disappointed. I should have had another one before, if I'm honest. Another header, but obviously good to score, but I'd rather prefer to have the 3 points. Just the last bit, misfortune of Luke going down injured, down to 10 men because all the subs have been used, and conceding late on, but that's how it's going at the minute for us. You know, we had a lot of joy in the early part of the season. We're in a little bit of a rut, you could say. Not as many wins as we wanted, but another point on the board, another point towards a target we've set ourselves. We've got an exciting game this weekend.
One real positive was the performance of Ellery Balcombe, who was outstanding again, and we're really lucky, actually, aren't we, to have two top goalkeepers at the club.
No, definitely, yeah, and I think it's not just the keeper situation. You know, throughout the squad there's a lot of competition, which keeps everyone on their toes. You know, the gaffer's not shy. If he tells us if he needs to make a change, he'll make the change. But big man's come in, Els, and done very well. Obviously, you know, there's been a few games when he's been quiet, a bit like the Wilson game. He was quiet, but then near the end we needed him, and he was there to help the team.
Been a busy week, no game on Tuesday, but the players have been doing a lot off the field as well as training, haven't they?
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's kind of a bit of a refreshment as well. It takes our mind off the importance of the game on Saturday. You know, a lot of school visits, which the lads have, you know, been buzzing about, enjoyed going in, seeing the kids. We put a smile on their face, but they put a smile on ours. You know, a few stories of, you know, what the kids have said, the questions have asked the boys, come back. That's good. But, and then obviously a few of us down at the soft launches, or whatever you want to class it, for the new bar, which obviously going to be open up on Saturday again, which is going to be good for the fans.
And we're going to talk now about the FA Trophy, but just before we get into the game itself, obviously this is a game that means a lot to you in terms of the opposition, as you started your career at York City and came through the academy there.
Yeah, many moons ago. crazy, it doesn't seem that long ago. You know, I'm from, well, just outside of York. York City was where I started my career. I was fortunate, you know, to have some very, very good times. I made my debut when I was 17. You know, Chris Brass gave me my opportunity there. A lot of good players as well. You know, the academy there was very good. When I was coming through, it was like looking at the likes of Jonathan Greening and Richard Creswell, who went on to have fantastic careers. And that was always, you know, we wanted to follow in their footsteps. Like I said, I made my debut, enjoyed it, and then manager comes in and I'm a young lad, and then things just changed, and you know, it's ended on a sour note, but I still have a lot of happy thoughts about York City.
And that aside, a tough game in prospect tomorrow. York will be very up for it, but the support's going to be important, isn't it? And a near sellout crowd now.
Yeah, it's massive. It'd be good. You know, like York are bringing a few, I think. We'll have all our fans there. There's nothing better than playing, you know, in front of a rowdy crowd and a chanting crowd and a big crowd. So yeah, we're all looking forward to it.
Byron, thanks for your time.
No problem, thank you.
Brilliant. Absolutely great to hear from the skipper as always there, Matt. Yet again, an absolutely seamless podcast episode under the...
Well,
done.
What do you expect? What do you expect? Well, it's like... I feel like one of Ant or Dec here
it's
in
like
no
a
particular
zigzag.
Order.
It's like a zigzag. Well, neither of Ant or Dec, so thanks for getting wrong.
There was no order in today's podcast, so apologies about that. But hopefully we've covered it for you in some kind of roundabout way. There is one more thing to say. We, of course, do travel to Kings Lynn Town on Tuesday. That's Tuesday the 5th.
How could you
April.
Think past Saturday? I can't even think past 5 o'clock on Saturday at the moment.
Got to. Don't forget to book
yeah,
your
dude,
spaces.
It's Tuesday as well. Tuesday night, isn't it? Straight afterwards. King's Lynn.
Yes, King's Lynn. Don't forget to book your space on the supporters coach. There are still plenty of spaces available on that. So
plenty of spaces, by the way. So yes. Please do book.
Please, please, please support the coaches. The club and the chairman work really hard to put these on. So please
I don't
do
want to sit
support.
Next to Matt.
Well, that's one advantage. But that's it, I think. We really have covered it all now.
Have we really?
Yes.
Oh, honestly, I can't. I literally do not know what to say.
Neither do
I. As the week's gone on, Broomfields has been a lovely, lovely sort of distraction, and it's, you know, there's been other stuff going on, and everything that's been going on with the schools this week, and the engagement's been fantastic. But now I feel I'm rocking in this chair as I sit here. The excitement, anxiety, I don't know what it is.
I don't really know what to feel.
Just building and building now.
Well, not long to wait now, Jeff. Less than 24 hours, we will know what's gone down. So,
and talking about tomorrow, obviously, get here early. It's the biggest advice
me.
In the world.
Yes.
I mean, we're open from 8 a.m. in the morning, actually, for Saturday morning soccer school. They've got the breakfast menu, 8 to 11:30.
Parents are in for a treat.
They've got the full Monty, the whole works.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on down.
And then, yeah, obviously, it's a free pint, 12 till 1. Drink, 12 till 1. Just the one. And then it's half price after that, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely brilliant.
It's going to be...
Busy.
As you can tell, I can't put it into words.
No. Well, I'm struggling as well. So probably a good point to end on. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Josh, for putting this together as well. Thank you all for listening and for your support. We wouldn't be able to do it without you.
Come on.
We'll be back with you again very soon. Get on down and support the lads tomorrow. And we'll see you very soon again on the podcast as well. Thanks, everyone. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.